Would you turn back to Romans chapter 10? And tonight I'm going to be preaching from the parable of the unjust steward in Luke chapter 16. And the title of the message is Money. And that's what that's about. Money. Romans chapter 10, I pray that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim this morning in the light of His glory and His grace. May God grant us that for Christ's sake. In this 17th verse of Romans chapter 10, we read of three things of critical, primary importance. Faith, hearing, and the Word of God. That's what I've entitled this message. Faith, hearing, and the Word of God. There is no salvation apart from these three things. There's no relationship with God. There's no walking with God apart from these three things. Faith, hearing, and the Word of God. Now, I'd like to introduce this message by making six statements that I know are absolutely true. So you listen to these carefully. Here's my first statement. I know that God is. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. That doesn't mean believing in God. The devil believes in God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is who He says He is. Now somebody says, I believe this about God. Well, it doesn't matter what you or I say we believe about God, that has no bearing at all on His isness. He said, I am that I am. And what you or I believe about that has no bearing on who He is. God is. He is as He says He is in His Word. The Lord Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. Now that's a scary statement, isn't it? But what a statement. If you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. God is. We believe in the isness of God, don't we? We believe He is as He says He is in His Word. We bow to who He is. Now, God is. And the second statement I would like to make that is so absolutely true is God is holy. God, the living God, the God of the Bible, is holy. When Isaiah saw the Lord, what did he see as the seraphims flew around His throne? What did they say? Holy, holy, holy. Three times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. When Moses sees the bush burning, and he says, I'll go and see this great sight, how the bush burns and is not consumed. And he turned aside to see that sight. And the Lord said, draw not nigh hither, Moses. Don't stand back. The place you stand is holy ground. Take your shoes off your feet. God is holy. Now, me and a couple of men were talking back at the study. Well, what's that mean? means he's not like me and you. He's other. He's holy. Immaculate in holiness. His love is a holy love. His power is a holy power. His sovereignty is a holy sovereignty. His love is a holy love. His grace is a holy grace. God is holy. His wisdom is a holy wisdom. His immutability is a holy immutability. God is, and God is holy. Third thing I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you and I, by nature, are unholy, sinful men and women. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, "And God saw." And remember, how God sees things is how they are. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, when God looks at your heart, when God looks at my heart, and he sees the thoughts, the imaginations that pass through the heart, not even talking about the works right now, not even talking about the deeds, just talking about the thoughts of the imaginations into the heart. Here's God's testimony. It's only evil. Nonstop. Listen to this scripture from Romans chapter 3, verse 10. This is God's testimony. "There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They have all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." God is holy. And me and you, by nature, choice, and practice, are unholy. Sinful. Man at his best state, the scripture says, is altogether vanity. David said in Psalm 62, "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree, the uppity ups, are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity." That's God's testimony. People talk about powerful men, but no such thing. Power belongeth unto the Lord. Now, because God is holy, and because man is sinful, this is the fourth statement I want to make, and I'm dead sure of this. Because of who God is and because of who man is, salvation by works is altogether impossible. Altogether impossible. What is meant by salvation by works? That means salvation being dependent upon, conditioned upon, contingent upon anything me or you have to do first. I will not be saved unless I first do this. Now that makes salvation God's response to something I do, doesn't it? Because of the sinful state you and I are in, and because of the character of this holy God, salvation by works is impossible. If any part of salvation is dependent upon me first doing something, I will not be saved. I think of when that rich young ruler came to the Lord. And he said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, "Well, you know the law." And he gave the commandments. He said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now this was a fine man. He could say, I really think I've kept these commandments. Not many people could talk like that. And the Lord said, "Yet you're lacking one thing. You go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." And he went away sorrowful. And the disciples, this is the cream of the crop. If this man can't be saved, who then can be saved? What was the answer? With men. What? It is impossible. If salvation in any way, to any degree, is dependent upon me first doing something before God will do something for me. I will not be saved. And neither will you. But here's the fifth thing I'd like to say, and I'm so thankful I can say this. I know this. God is merciful. And He will save a people. He delights in showing mercy. It's His very nature to love and to forgive sins. That's His nature. That's who He is. Listen to this scripture from Exodus 34. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's who He is. He forgives sin. Now, I'm talking about how no one can be saved by their works. That doesn't mean we're all together without hope or help. God saves. He delights in mercy. That's the character of our God. Your sinfulness, my sinfulness, cannot prevent Him from saving me. Aren't you happy about that? This is the very nature of God. And God will do, here's the sixth statement, God will do all of this through faith. Now turn with me to John chapter 3 for a moment. God is. God is holy. Me and you, we're sinful. That's the testimony of Scripture. Salvation by works is impossible. But that doesn't mean there's not such a thing as salvation. He delights in saving. And this salvation that I'm speaking of comes through faith. Whatever faith is, it comes through faith. Now look here in John 3, beginning in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. But that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look in verse 36 of the same chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I think of the words of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And I love this answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, our Lord gives us these words, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. He said to that woman who was a sinner, go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And you can go in peace this morning. Go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. Oh, I want to be in that number. Faith, hearing, and the Word of God. Now, we have to begin with the Word of God. There's no hearing without something to hear. There's no believing without something to believe. We have to begin with the Word of God. Now, there are two words generally translated in the New Testament. Word. There are only two words. There's the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. That's spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He is the concept, as it were. He is the expression. When God speaks, here's what He has to say. My Word. Christ. Christ is the Word of God. The Logos. And the other word is Rhema. It's the word spoken. It's the word uttered. When the Word, Logos, the Word of God, when He speaks, it's the Rhema. It's the very words of God that come out of His mouth. Now, I have to have the Word of God. I have to have the words of God. This is what we hear when we hear. This is what we believe when we believe. Now, before there can be faith, there must first be the Word of God. Would you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1? Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the Word, the Logos of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. Now hold your finger there and turn back to where this is quoted from in Isaiah chapter 40. Hold your finger there in 1 Peter 1 and turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 6. The voice said, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? Well, here's the answer. All flesh. All flesh. Black flesh, white flesh, red flesh, rich flesh, poor flesh, smart flesh, dumb flesh, whatever kind of flesh it is. All flesh. This is what God says to cry. Cry, what shall I cry? All flesh, my flesh and your flesh is as grass. What do you say next? And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. What is it that will stand? The Word of God. If I'm going to stand, I'm going to have to be found in Him, aren't I? Now turn back to 1 Peter. Being born again, verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away. But the Word, and here it's the Rhema, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word. This is the Word that's actually spoken, which by the Gospel is preached unto you. This is the message of evangelism. All flesh is grass, and the only thing that stands before God is the Word of God. And the only way I'm going to be standing before God is if I'm found in Him, the Word. James 1:18 says, of His own will begat He us through the Word of truth. Turn with me to John 6 for a moment. John chapter 6. Now, the Lord, I guess the longest sermon we have on record of Him preaching in the New Testament is here in John chapter 6. And at the conclusion of this message, we read, beginning in verse 59, "These things said He in the synagogue, as He taught in Capernaum. Many therefore," verse 60, "of His disciples, when they had heard," they heard what He said, "they said, this is an hard saying." That word means harsh, austere, dried up. That's what the word means. It's actually translated austere and dry. This is harsh. Who can be expected to listen to such teaching as this? This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now, what was it He said? Well, look. In this message, He gave clearly what we would call the doctrine of grace. The 5 points. I mean, it's just brought out as clear as it can be. Look in verse 44. "No man can come to Me except the Father which has sent Me draw him." Inability. Total and complete depravity. You can't even come to Christ unless He causes you to. You believe that? Look in verse 37. "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me." There's election. Divine election. The Father giving the Son a people. He says they'll all come to Me. "And him that comes to Me I will in no wise cast out." Look down in verse 39. "And this is the Father's will which has sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing." There's Christ's effectual work of redemption for the elect. Every single one of them will be saved. Look in verse 45. "It's written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to Me." There's irresistible grace. Invincible, irresistible grace. "All that hear of the Father, they come to Me." Every single one of them. Look in verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." There's perseverance and preservation. He shall live forever. The Lord brought out clearly the way of salvation by grace. Now, how did they respond? Verse 59, "These things said He in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of His disciples, when they'd heard, said, this is a hard saying. This is austere. This is disagreeable. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, doth this offend you?" Are you offended by this? Well, obviously they were. "What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before?" I know what He's saying when He makes that statement. He said, if you're offended now, you'll really be offended then. When you see Me sitting at the right hand of the Father in absolute control and your eternal destiny in My hands. You're offended now, you'll really be offended then. Look what He says in verse 63. "It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing." Remember, all flesh is grass. "The words..." These words that you're finding harsh and unagreeable and hard. "The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life." But there are some of you that believe not. "For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to Me except it were given unto Him of My Father." These people were not believing. He said, here's how come. You can't. You're unable to unless God gives you the grace to do it. That's the only way you can come. And look what verse 66 says. "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, these people are walking away to never come back again. And He doesn't ask them to return. He doesn't say, let me restate this and see if you can receive it any easier. He doesn't say anything like that. He says, will you also go away? Now here's the point. If you can, you will. But how did the disciples answer this? I love this answer. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. These words that they were finding to be harsh saying, we find them to be words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure. What? What is it you believe and are sure of? That thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what? I believe and I'm sure that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we believe His Word. Will you also go away? I don't know where it goes. It's not like I even have a choice. Now, if you have a choice, you can go. In hearing the truth of the gospel. If you can say, well, I can leave. You will. You will. But to a believer, they have no choice, do they? We don't choose to believe. Don't you know that's so? We don't choose to believe. We believe because we have no choice. It's the truth. We believe God's truth. Not only must there be the Word of God to have faith, but there must be hearing. Now, we've been talking about the Word of God. Now, I want to talk for a few moments about hearing. Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. How shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? Turn, you're there in John 6. Turn back to John chapter 5. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. On six different occasions, and Rich just read one of them, the Lord said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Not everybody has ears to hear. Lord, give me these ears to hear, whatever that means. Give me ears to hear so I can be like these dead people who hear the voice of the Son of God and live. How I need these ears to hear. Look in John chapter 8, verse 43. The Lord says to these people, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot. You lack the ability to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, has a devil? You're demon-possessed talking like that, is what they say to the Lord. Now I hear His voice. When I'm not just hearing the words of some man up there talking, giving his opinion and his religious views and his interpretation of the Scripture. I hear His voice when I know what I'm hearing is the very Word of God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse Verse 13. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it. Not as the word of men, not as Paul's take on things, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Ananias came to Paul when Paul was blinded, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know His will. Now, beloved, that doesn't mean you'll know His will about what I ought to do about this situation. You may not. I don't know. I never know for sure until after the fact. Somebody says, I know it's God's will for me to do this. Well, that's just talk. I never know His will in that sense. I ask Him to order my steps in His Word, but I know His will in this sense. I know it's His will for everyone who believes on Christ to be saved. I know that. I know it's His will that everybody that Christ died for, everybody that He elected, everybody that God the Holy Spirit calls must be saved. I know the will of God in redemption. I know it. And see that just one. That's what He said to Paul. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee to know His will and see that just one. There's just one. And He's the way that God can be just and justify somebody like me. We see that. And hear the voice of His mouth. And if you and I have ever heard, we have heard the voice of His mouth in the preaching of the gospel. That's what hearing is. Is it any wonder the Lord said in Mark 4:24, take heed what you hear? Take heed what you hear. You know, you will be what you hear. You can just write that down. So take heed what you hear. If you hear that which is contrary to the gospel, you'll believe that which is contrary to the gospel. If that's what you're hearing. Take heed what you hear. That's a needful exhortation. And He also said in Luke 8:18, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to contradict, slow to wrath. Oh, may God make me to be a true hearer of the word. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Now, there first must be the word of God. I mean, God's word, the gospel. And there's got to be a hearing of God's word. You can't believe something you've never heard. And then there's faith. Faith. Not only must there be the word, not only must there be hearing, but the faith comes from the hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and then we have the faith. The hearing is believing. Believing the gospel. I hear. Abraham, look at the stars. So shall thy seed be. You know what Abraham did? He believed what he heard. With no evidence other than God's naked word, he believed what he heard. He had faith. It really is that simple. There's the word of God, there's hearing, and there is faith. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. She was evidently a wealthy businesswoman of the city of Thyatira. She came from a place where Paul was forbidden to preach, but here she is at Philippi, which worshiped God, heard us. Paul had been preaching the gospel, verse 13, look back, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. They wanted a synagogue, and Lydia was there, and she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. I pray that happens even right now. Whose heart the Lord opened. Now the only way you and I will be enabled to hear is if God opens our heart. Now if my response is, therefore I don't need to worry about it because I can't hear until God opens my heart, you haven't heard. If you ever really hear, you'll be crying, Lord, open my heart. Open my heart. Whose heart the Lord opened so that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Oh, how she attended. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me faithful, she believed, to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained him. So she heard the word. The Lord opened her heart so that she attended. She laid hold upon what was said. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm going to lay hold upon that. That's my hope. That He came to save. I hear that. Now the only way I hear that is if God opens my heart. But I hear that, and that real, I'm completely relying on the gospel. Look in verse 19 of the same chapter. And when her master saw that their hopes of gain were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Don't you love to think about that? I mean, there they are with the beaten up with a whip, feet in stocks in a filthy inner prison, praying and singing praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened. And every man's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, he didn't hear this singing, he was just asleep. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing that the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, we're all here. Then he called for a light. Oh, I need light. And he sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe. Rely on the Lord. Do you believe He's the Lord? That's the first question I want. Do you believe He's the Lord? Do you believe He's Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior? Do you believe that? Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Do you believe it's the Christ? Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe He's God's prophet? The very Word of God. Do you believe He's God's priest? That if He brings you into God's presence, you must be accepted. Do you believe He's God's King? The King of kings and the Lord of lords. Do you believe? Thou shalt be saved. Go on reading. Verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. They heard the gospel, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God. I love that, believing in God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You know what he did? He believed in God. One final scripture. Turn with me to John chapter 6. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I first have the Word of God, the Gospel. There's hearing. There's got to be something to hear. And there's faith. And John chapter 6. The Lord says, in verse 25, and when the people had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, not because of some conviction of who I am, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's the way of reason you're seeking me. You want another free meal. Now labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. I love this. The Lord's talking to these people. And he knows these people are going to leave him. He knows exactly what they're going to do. But yet he says to these people, don't labor for meat that perishes, but for the meat which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall what? Give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Verse 28. They heard this stuff about laboring and laboring not, and they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? We want to do this laboring. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now this is the work of God, that you believe, rely, trust on him whom he hath sent. Him whom he hath sent. Do you believe God sent him into this world? Do you believe that he did whatever it was God sent him to do? When he said it is finished, what God sent him to do was finished. And you believe on him. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Now there's the three critical things. The Word of God, hearing, and faith. And may this describe me and you, somebody that believes on him whom he has sent. Now, if you believe on him, everything's going to be fine. It's all going to be worked out. You can rest in that. May God give us all this saving faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's pray together.